Since I've given the message, and hopefully this time I'll be a little bolder, a little better prepared, and not as emotional as I have been in the past. But I'm very honored to be up here this morning and to share God's message with everyone today. So thank you for the opportunity. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come here today and share your message. I ask that you would bless the words that you're about to give me, that they may convict some here to strengthen their relationship with you, if not one, everyone, and that we would desire to do your will, Lord. And just please bless the words that come through me today and give me the boldness to share that message. And it's in your name that we pray, gracious and Heavenly Father. Amen. All right. So, did everyone come here this morning planning to meet Jesus? Did you pray this morning that you would see someone saved and that you might have a hand in bringing that person to Christ? About a month ago, I had the opportunity to go visit a church of a fellow co-worker. And I had heard a lot about his church, and he invited me several times to come see his church. They were struggling, and a lot of life had been breathed into that church, and they were doing a lot, and people were being saved, and a lot was going on. I thought, well, this would be interesting. I'll go over there and just see what's going on and what is going on in that church. I have been at this church for probably, I guess it's been about 15 years now, and I don't think I've visited another church since I've been coming here, except for maybe once or twice with Jennifer to go visit the Blended Fellowship Church. But for the most part, I'm always coming here, so I just thought it would be interesting to go see what another church is doing. And also, as a worship leader, I might get some ideas of, you know, what other people do. But so I went over there, and as the service started, the very first thing that the pastor said was that question that I just posed to you. And he asked that question, and I began to think about my morning that morning, and I realized that, no, I had not come to church thinking that I was going to see Jesus or that I was going to bring someone to Christ. And I mean, I'll be honest, that really kind of hit me. I was thinking, man, what was I thinking about this morning? I was thinking, and what I was thinking was, do I have all that stuff together? Do I know how to get to this church? How soon do I have to leave to get there on time? And I really hadn't spent time in prayer that morning. I hadn't really taken an opportunity to spend some time with Christ and just talk to him. And so I was thinking about that and just thinking, well, you know, why didn't I do that? And it kind of just worked on me throughout the time that service was going on, and afterwards I thought a little bit more about it, and I came to another question, and I began asking myself, well, am I really a good Christian? You know, I mean, am I doing the right things? And I just had all these questions in my mind. That service had really provoked a lot of thought in with my relationship with Christ. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, well, you know, posing that question to everyone, and I could just imagine what the reply would be. Like, duh, of course I'm a good Christian, because I don't think anyone likes to think that they might not necessarily be a good Christian. And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, you know, really it's not the question of am I a good Christian. I don't really think that's a good question. As I thought about it more, I realized what I was trying to find out was, am I a thriving Christian, or am I just a surviving Christian? And so I did a lot of prayer about it, and asked a lot of people, and I really think it comes down to, there are two types of Christians. There's your surviving Christian, and then there's a thriving Christian, the ones that we see that everything that they do is blessed, and Jesus and Christ is with them all the time. You can see it in them and everything that they do, and you just know that they're in Christ and Christ is working through them. And I realized also that being a Christian is more than just trusting on Christ for your salvation. Now, that is a very important aspect of being a Christian, and we have to do that. But that's where, if you know, there's some people that are like, yeah, I believe in Christ, I believe in Jesus, but that's where it ends for them. They don't really go beyond that. And I think that is where you have a surviving Christian. And so I started looking at other things that created a thriving Christian and would help me to build my relationship with Christ and what I needed to do to be one of these people that I envy, that I see all the time, that just blessed in everything that they do. And I talked to a lot of people and have done a lot of studying and things like that. And I came up with about 4 points. You know, depending on who you ask that question to, you'd have several different answers. It's going to be different for everybody. You know, everybody's going to have a different idea of what it takes to be a real thriving Christian. But I think there's 4 points that pretty much everyone can agree on. And I know that the Bible points these out because I have several examples where the Bible told me this. And so I just wanted to go kind of through those points, what I found would help me. And first thing that I think everyone would agree, that you have to be born again to be a Christian. That's you have to be born again. And it's not just, I've been baptized, I've been saved. It's a true change your heart, change your person. You are, you know, a new person. I asked one person that I know, he's a pastor friend of mine, and I asked him what he thought about the idea of being born again, and he explained it in a really interesting way, and I like the way that he put it. And he said, you know, when you're born again, the old person, the scripture says, the old person is laid to rest by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus comes to you, and he confronts you with the truth that you are a sinner. But he does not just leave you there. He invites you to accept his offering for your sins. He tells you that your sins killed him, but he defeated that by raising from the grave. And then he knocks on the door of your soul, and if you trust him, he comes into your soul to live. And because Jesus conquered death, he is eternal life. And once he lives in you, you can never die. And, you have become a new creation. You have been born again. A new creation. Your new father is God. Your new brother is the King of Kings. And your new teacher is the commander of the Lord's armies. 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is the New Living Translation, reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when Jesus lives in you, you take him with you everywhere that you go. And I was also posed that question, you know, well, do you think about that every time you go somewhere, that Jesus is actually in you, he's with you, where you're going to these different places? So you really kind of need to be mindful with where you're taking Jesus. But that's one thing, I think, you know, is the first thing. You do have to be born again. And secondly, I think everyone would agree, a Christian needs to spend time with Christ in prayer. It's hard to build a relationship with someone if you never visit them, you never talk to them, you don't spend time with them. I mean, it's pretty common sense. So I think it's obvious that, you know, we need to take time to spend time with Christ. And I am guilty of, I don't think I spent as much time with Christ as I should. And so in the past month, I've made a promise to myself that I'm going to continue to do that more. I'm going to try to have a set aside time. And I look to the Bible, you know, what that time needs to be like. And I got I kind of came to Matthew 26 and read 36 through 46, which was the time that Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he set himself aside and gave himself some quiet time away from everybody else, and he went to his Father in prayer, and was very earnest and humble to his Father when he was doing that praying. But I also think that, you know, he didn't just leave that prayer there. He took it with him as he went on from the garden and meditated on what had happened between him and his Father in that prayer time. And I think if we do that and we look for, if we ask God for something, or we ask that he would give us an opportunity throughout the day, that if we keep our eyes open to that or look for that particular situation for him to be there, we'll see him and we'll have that opportunity and we can act on it. And so I think that's another point that, you know, that everyone would say you have to be in prayer. Thirdly, that you have to be in the Word. You have to be thinking about Christ, but you have to be reading and studying what he says to us. If we only ate on Sundays, and that's the only time we ever ate, we would not be very good off. We'd be pretty bad off. So I think it's important that, you know, we always, we spend a little time every day reading the Word and just trying to understand what Christ would have us to do by reading his Word. I found this out several years ago, but John Muir, a naturalist and environmentalist in California, heard of John Muir Woods and things like that. He had learned the Bible that he could recite word for word the entire New Testament and three quarters of the Old Testament. And I got to thinking about that. What kind of understanding does somebody have of what God wants for you when you can recite the Bible to that level, when you're in the Word that much that you know, you can just pick up anywhere in the Bible and you just start reciting the words? I think that was pretty amazing. I can't believe that anybody can even do that. But we also know that Jesus was in the Word. He studied the Word. He was able to recite the prophetic parts of the Old Testament to prove who he was to all the Pharisees and the people that he came in contact with. So we know, I don't know that it necessarily says that he studied, but I think we can assume that he was in the Word. He was, because he knew the Word very well and he was able to recite the Word to the people that he came in contact with. So the last thing that I came to that was kind of surprising to me that I didn't think about, and I think maybe a lot of people might not really think about this as being an important fact of being a thriving Christian, is being in the body of Christ, being in the unity and the body of Christ. You know, there aren't really any Lone Ranger Christians out there. There's nobody out there that's able to be a great and good Christian by themselves without support from their church or their congregation. And so becoming a Christian is an act of commitment to others who have also vowed to follow Jesus forever. If you think about a newborn baby being left alone by its family to survive on its own, it just wouldn't happen. That baby would not be able to survive. A newborn needs a family, and so does everyone else, especially a Christian. And so Romans 12, 4-5, I found read that just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. I'm sorry, I wrote that twice. Many members equals one body. And also 1 Corinthians 12 through 13 states that the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into the Spirit, into the body by the Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, we know, didn't just attach us loosely to the edge of Christ's body. He actually placed us complete. He actually placed you completely into the body of Christ. And a thriving Christian must be deeply rooted in the fellowship of the church. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians, and I'm just going to put Northview in where Ephesus was, just to give it a little more meaning. Therefore, I, as a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For Northview has been called by God. Northview, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called on one glorious hope for the future. So Christ does not give us these characteristics, the humble and the patience. He is those characteristics. And the only way to make these characteristics visible in your life is to allow Christ to dwell in you and to control you. Not only do these characteristics become visible when we allow God to dwell in us and guide us, but He also gives us spiritual gifts. Gifts that we get when we're born again that allow us to complete the function of His body. And the gifts of the Spirit is like a riverbed through which Christ's love flows. The faster the river flows, the deeper the riverbed cuts. And as God's love flows through us, our gifts deepen. And the purpose is to let more of Christ's love flow through you to others. So you are to be a channel for His love to flow to others. Romans 12, 1 through 5, found read that, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them, your bodies, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." So, all of these points together, I found in my research, are some core and main points that will help me to become a thriving Christian instead of the surviving Christian that I have to admit that I feel like I've been. I don't think that I've been doing all those things fully like I could be doing them. And I'm really trying to make an effort to do more of that. And I just felt led to share that this morning as a testimony. But before I end, there was one other scripture that when I was preparing for this came to me, and I thought it just kind of spoke to me. And it was Acts 2:42-47. "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So thinking about that scripture, I asked myself, and I ask you today, what are you devoted to today? As a born-again Christian, are you devoted to prayer and scripture and true fellowship with your church? Did you or do you now have a deep sense of awe, as it said in the scripture, of God and his presence here right now? And if so, if this is so, why is it that people are not being saved every time we come together, and as they did in this scripture? These are the questions that I've been asking myself again and been trying to find the answers to. And hopefully today, I hope that all of us can say that we are thriving Christians. But if we can't say that, honestly, to ourselves, I challenge everyone to take these points and as I have, try to put them into your lives and challenge yourself to become a thriving Christian. And that's it. So at this time, I guess I'll just call the Lord up for the benediction.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, and tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me on. When my way grows astray, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, if I cry, hear my call. Be with us as we go to our meal. Bless the food, bless the fellowship, everything done and said today for the rest of